Alright everyone, this is Christoph Kemper of Link Research Tools and the Link Building and SEO podcast, and I got a very famous person in the show today. Her name is Aleida Solis. Aleida, did I pronounce that right?
Yes, you did. That's pretty cool, actually.
Oh, cool. Thank you. You know, I had a lesson 1 hour in Spanish, but that's whatever. Aleida, what's your background? Where are you from? Where do you live? What do you work on?
Yes, I am an international SEO consultant, and before becoming an SEO 10 years ago, I was a front-end developer, web developer, and web designer. And then, of course, I entered SEO, worked at agencies, in-house, etc., and I became an international SEO consultant, independent with my own SEO consultancy. I am based in Spain, however, I travel a lot. I am a firm believer of the remote work environment, and most of my clients are actually, or mostly right now, all of my clients are not from Spain, but from all over Europe and the US especially. So yes, this is pretty much me. I am highly focused, I have to say, in technical and strategical SEO, also mobile and international environments. So yes, these are my specialties.
Okay, so you got a developer background. This is interesting. Yeah, we spent front end
actually, not back end. I don't have enough patience to debug.
I have to say.
But I was one of those lazy people who went to look for the straightforward result when implementing and directly seeing the front end display with the outcome.
Okay. Yeah, but still, that's a very, very interesting background that I didn't know about myself. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, also interesting for our listeners, because it shows how you transitioned basically in the market with your skills and you. How or why did you decide to go into SEO, or what made the switch? Was it the money?
No, actually, yes. I think I was developing websites right for my clients, and I was an in-house front end and web designer specialist at that time. And then the next step was, and the typical question around that time, it was 2005, 2006, right? How do we earn money now? How we monetize this, or how we can really expand this and to make it profitable with all of these changes and redesign and everything, right? So that was a typical question. And then I ended up going to study this e-commerce master because of the e-commerce tag, right? I was supposed to learn more about how to make money out of the website, right? Funnily enough, I didn't, but then I started to work at that time at this online marketing agency, and then I realized, and I was in charge of monetizing a network of websites. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh, I tested everything, like from affiliates to pay-per-click at the time, like whatever there was to monetize. And then I realized, oh, SEO organic is the much more scalable way to do it, and simple, and if you have the control of the content and technical resources and promotion, also a little bit of promotion resources, you're able to grow it exponentially, right? Much more easily, and especially cost effectively than with all the paid options, for sure.
Yeah. So That was a very strong argument for organic search, for SEO. But what's the biggest issue that you see in companies that they have with SEO, or their objections of why they would not want to do SEO and would rather pay Google for every click?
Well, it depends on the size and the characteristic of the company. Like, for example, for big companies, for huge companies, right now I actually work for big brands, for a few big brands and clients, right? Most of their problems is that, of course, they are very well-established brands that are not only and don't depend only on the online and only on organic. So whatever change they do is a big, most of the time, sadly, is a huge effort from web architecture or a structural change on their platform is sometimes non-viable because of that, because they are sometimes inheriting platform from from well many, many years ago that are not necessarily very agile, right? So everything, any change, that it's a major pain sometimes if they haven't renewed their platforms, right? And then you need, not only from technical, for technical aspects, but also for content or strategic aspects, you need to validate with so many departments. So the marketing manager for the country, the project manager, the product manager, the whatever manager, right? So it's complex because these are big organizations. So SEO here is much more about alignment, strategic alignment, and winning and negotiating resources to make things happen and prioritizing well these resources. And then for small players, like I have had a few newcomers in very competitive markets, like in the fintech markets. And here, the most painful is that they need to grow like really quick in order to, for example, to raise money and to see results really fast. And sometimes in very, very competitive environments where their competitions are banks, for example. So how do you rank for terms like, let's say, I don't know, crowdfunding, crowdlending, when every bank in the world is going after these terms, not only the startups, not only the actual business model competition, right? So here, the major pain, I will say, is time and resources in order to be able to see the result, the expected results as fast as possible.
Does that mean that you do a lot of training as well in large companies for the management, for the marketing management, for example?
Yeah, indeed. One of the things that I always focus on doing is when I start with a new SEO process and I develop an audit, I do an analysis, I try as much as possible to get really involved within the industry, right, and to really understand the business model, the players, the type of characteristics, the audience behavior in that industry, etc. And then when I share the results, it's really a training process, for the client and the team of the client from an SEO perspective, because they start understanding every little aspect sometimes because they probably knew in general before, but now they are seeing like a very in a very actionable way and personalized way what it needs to be done and which are the priorities for their specific situation and why is it important. So this is a very educational and evangelization process also internally. And then on the other hand, I get all the feedback and input from a business perspective. So it really helps to prioritize what is feasible or not, and what can be more critical and important to do, not only based on SEO goals, but also business goals. So this really should align with the business aspects and characteristics of the company. In general, yes, I have done. Also, and this is also very important, when there's a willingness and where there's an entire team, and this is the first SEO process that they have done, and there's no in-house SEO person, I also usually the luck when it is a big client that there is already an in-house SEO team that has been done trainings. If not, then yes, a training is a must, a relevant one for the content team, another one for the technical team. And then, of course, to win the support of the management and the decision makers, this is key, of course. Otherwise, and this is the first question that I ask when a new potential client comes to me. It's like, do you have the willingness? Do you have the resources, technical resources, and flexibility to make changes and willingness to wait for a bit? Of course, these are the critical questions. If the answers are not for any of this, so maybe this company is better. Much better with paid search, at least at the beginning, until they really understand and they are much more in a much better position to wait or invest a little bit more for SEO.
So let me repeat and rephrase that. You say to a client, if you are not ready to make the changes, if you're not ready to wait, and if you don't have the money, you say no.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I don't want a client that will be like disappointed after a couple of months or 3 months or whatever, right? And the expectations for me is very important that they are correctly set, right, for the beginning. Otherwise, it will be a waste of my time and a little bit of a disappointment for me because I will be, of course, trying to do a really good job and just to see it to not being implemented afterwards and a client that is likely to be in any case, like disappointed and a little bit mad too. So yeah, so I prefer to select and luckily at this point, I have the luck to be able to select and filter the type of clients and projects that I work with.
Do you have employees?
I don't. Well, it's a little bit difficult because I have a consultancy, so we are a couple of people in the consultancy. Yes, but then what I actually do with the consultancy is to collaborate with independent professionals to help me do a little bit of legwork where I add less value. So, for example, for data gathering, segmentation, reporting, these type of things, I collaborate with other independent professionals. Who are also remotely based and have also their own projects to help me with this. Because, you know, I am a huge believer on one hand on remote and on another hand, I don't want an agency because my main value with clients is that I am the one doing the recommendations. I am the one actually handling the projects myself on a day-to-day basis and doing the meaningful work, right? And this is where I add value and I don't try to compete with what big agencies for this. And this is what I actually like because I actually like to do SEO. I don't want to set a big agency and end up doing managerial work or managing people. I highly dislike managing people actually is the most difficult thing. So what I actually enjoy is to really like analyze and recommend on the projects of clients and really be able to consult and help the clients themselves. So since this is what I really enjoy, it has been tricky, but I have been able to grow my consultancy in a way that is not about the volume, but about the quality of the projects that I get involved. And I am able to scale it in a way, you know, handling the most important and critical aspects of the consultancies instead of the much more operative that I delegate. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I so love it, Aleda, that you speak for quality, that you say, I would rather not take a client if the quality cannot be ensured, because this is totally in line what we do at Link Research Tools when it comes to link audits. Just a couple of months ago, we switched to all or nothing, to only support 100% audits, to only allow people to work on 100% of the link data, because in the past we did it like everyone else and just, you know, some large companies saw 0.1% of the links. Yeah. And doing anything with 0.1% of something, you know, even if you do an on-site crawling and only crawl 0.1% of the pages, what do you know? Nothing. And the same is true here. And I so support this. I would love to have everyone the same opinion, not to make money, but because our industry, our SEO industry has a bad reputation for shortcutters, for people that do discounting, for people that take every client just to take some money in to pay the bills, which I totally understand. And the problem here, this is why I ask also for employees. Of course, if you have a number of employees, if you have 1, 2, 5, 50 employees, they get paid monthly and you need to feed them, you need to pay them. On the other hand, if you just take one-off clients for 1 month, you spend 3 months to sell someone to do a one-off project for 1 month. Yeah. This cannot work. How long do you take your clients?
This is the critical thing for me. And the much more, I will say, and I have seen this in the past, right? Because I have worked for a few agencies in the past. Yeah. And also as a client myself, when I have worked in-house, right? It's very tricky for agencies to grow when it is based on the number of clients that they handle, right? And they on one hand, they need quality of clients and they need projects that actually are feasible to win at some point and are also relevant for them. So it's very, very tricky because, for example, you don't control that. Like 3 clients or 3 big projects can come 1 month, right? And then you start hiring people because you need more people to fulfill that work. So it's a little bit crazy. Yeah. Then to cancel this the next month, and then you have like an excess of people. What do you do, right? You are pressured to get or to take a project that might be not necessarily the best fit for you then. So it's very tricky for me. Yeah, actually, the agency business model is a business model that from what we have seen in the past tends to die a little bit. I think that more and more there will be more independent professionals or consultancies like myself, because we are much more specialized and we can add more value in very specific scenarios on one hand. And then on the other hand, like what you have, you are focused and based on tools, on a SaaS, mm-hmm. right? So that is much more scalable and easier to predict. And you are much more easier to manage the effort and the outcome. So for scalable too. So for me, these are two business models that will tend to gain much more strength in the future, because they add more value. And at the end of the day, a lot of work tends to be automatized anyway. Yeah. It is how it is. So yes, agencies will have a much more trickier work, I think, of the delivering and be able to add value on one hand, and on the other hand, to be able to scale properly in a way that is really sustainable. That's definitely very, very tricky for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a very good interpretation and reason for still selling low quality. I have to think about that. any listener that has a suggestion for how to make sure that agencies or search marketers can provide better quality can chime in. But from my guts right now, I would say that contracts just need to be more plannable. What's one month? It's unfreaking believable how fast time flies. One month is nothing.
In my case, I like the way I make sure that I will deliver quality is that besides asking the questions that I mentioned before, like really filtering the projects and profile the projects well to see if there's really a fit, if I can really add value in that situation. Otherwise, I would better refer to any other, right? Then also in SEO, let's be realistic. You need a little bit of time to see results. So if the client wants only to hire you for a month or 2 months, there should be a minimum. Otherwise, it's not reasonable. Also, what I actually do is to set the expectation right at the beginning. If you only want, and the outcome that you look is to have an overview or a look of your status in SEO in search, right? Yeah. So I can give you an audit. However, for me, I really prioritize when it is a process, at least 6 months process, where I will do the audit, I will do the recommendations, I will work with your team on an ongoing basis to make sure that what I recommend is actually implemented well, and then we will be able to see the results. So I in the way that I said, also this is a way that agencies can be able to control much better the amount of clients that they will always have on an ongoing basis, is to make ongoing processes instead of trying to sell a one-off type of consultancy, right? Or project.
Exactly. Yeah. But isn't that our duty? Isn't that your duty to tell the client, this is what it takes, this is how it works, and this is how I think we will be successful? It's your job to tell him how long it will take, and that a six-month commitment is useful. If the client says, no, I only want to do 2 weeks or 1 month, then he doesn't know better. But it's your responsibility, and I so support that. It's your duty to tell him, no, we need this and this and this, and it will cost money, it will cost time. But if you mess around, if you goof around for 1 month with this guy and that guy and that guy, also 6 months pass and you have nothing, and you cannot buy back time, right?
I'm completely 100% in line with what you have said. Mm-hmm. It is our duty. Also, it's a win-win. If we don't say it, we will have a mad client after a month or after 2 weeks.
Exactly.
And then we won't be able to better control our business and predict the ongoing income that we have or activity that we have and work. And this is something that, of course, is also not attractive for any of us, not for the client, not for us either.
Yeah. So in many companies, even if you're a normal employee, you have some termination periods of 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, and the same would need to apply here also, even if you would start with a smaller period of time. I think that the value here is that the more you work with a client, the more you know about the client.
That's it. Completely agree. It's pretty incredible because in my case, I have seen the evolution already. For example, with I have already still a few clients with I have started when I started as an independent consultant in 2014 that are still with me, right? They have grown with me actually. And it's crazy because some of them, they consider me to be part of their team, right? And I have access to the Jira directly myself, and I have the flexibility to create the task myself and to coordinate directly with the developers. And of course, they're the project manager, like overlooking and supervising a little bit. But it's like if I am part of their teams, right? And you only will gain that trust and knowledge of the internal systems and processes and be able to influence in this way the organization after a little while, after they get to see what you are able to do and you understand how they better work. So yes, and then how you better align with them and their ongoing activities. So for sure, it really requires a time for sure.
Wow. Yeah, very, very exciting discussion. Alida, we are at 20 minutes already and we want snack-sized podcasts here. So maybe a favorite tip or takeaway, something that you can share for people doing SEO or link building or link audits, something that you say, this is a gold nugget of knowledge that I would like to share with the listeners of this podcast. Do you have something for us?
Yes, sure thing. Well, the first thing for big clients that I do, and it's something that I think that you tweeted of in a session that I share, right? Is for the big website, they have so many external links going to dead pages, to pages that have been 302 redirected, are showing 404s, that are even redirecting, but redirecting to non-relevant locations sometimes.
Yeah.
So, this is a huge, really easy to implement and win opportunity for big brands when you are working with big brands on one hand. And then for smaller players, I will say that what has been like the easier way for me that I have been able to help them grow their authority in a very competitive market is to find actually what is the most difficult thing in for their customers or for their audience to understand about that industry or to really do like really to understand and to be able to really operate in that industry. Like for example, right, if you're working in a fintech type of industry, for financials are really, really hard still for many people. How do you do a balance sheet, right? How do you do a financial planning? What is an asset really? How do you calculate in Forex? These type of things are very complex. So for me has been to create resources for them and along them that will facilitate that their customer understand their business, understand their industry, so they can become an authority in that industry, even if they are a newcomer. So for example, for fintech, I have helped my clients to create glossaries, financial calculators, that will really, really facilitate the life of their customers. So these are really useful, resourceful, type of functionalities that they will provide for free and that will gain lots of links and coverage in the media. So yes, I will say that these are very two straightforward ways to approach.
I fully agree. And actually, because you mentioned that, we just got approval for Hertz. RBBI won a best SEO campaign for Hertz. And what they did, they used link research tools to do exactly that. Not just do a full link audit, but also recovery of such redirects that were broken. And they increased their traffic by 500% roughly. I don't have the exact number, we'll publish. But that means just fixing, just taking care of the link profile of these broken links that you mentioned and broken links to redirects to error pages, whatever, made 5 times more organic traffic possible. And the interesting part here is that also the conversion rate from organic went up. And I think this is because more pages were in higher results. And so the buyer's trust probably went up because of that. But this was a fix of something that people didn't look at for years.
Yeah,
they were missing out on 5 times the traffic.
For sure. And, you know, even beyond SEO, it's about the user experience too. Do you really, even if that page is still ranking, do you really want to rank with that page or to bring traffic of any type to that page. Of course not. It will be a lost customer, a lost visitor. So yes, definitely. Goes hand to hand most of the time with customer experience and usability too.
Awesome. All right. And finally, SEO Oktoberfest. I see you there.
Yes, very looking forward to see you there. It will be massive this year, and I cannot wait to go.
You know, we have the last ticket for this last SEO Oktoberfest, and we're just promoting this challenge. It will be a much easier challenge. Everyone can take part. No need to buy software or write case studies or complicated stuff. And if you could play a little part in this challenge,
I would love. Oh my god! Of course, like come with me, and if like I will share about it. I have already, but I will share again. And if you are listening to this and you're still not sure if to participate or not, you definitely should do it, because this is the best event ever, and it will be the last one of this type and this kind. So it's a must go, really. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. That's it. Aleda, thank you very much. I have to say thank you so much for being here today, and say goodbye to all the listeners. A final bye-bye from you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I have really enjoyed it, Christoph, and it has been a pleasure to share. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Aleda. Bye, everyone, and Aleda, see you soon.
See you soon. Bye-bye.